Welcome to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Good to have you with us. The auto industry came into the crosshairs of President-elect Trump's Twitter feed this week. He aimed a tweet right at GM, grumbling about GM's building of the Chevy Cruze in Mexico, ending Make in USA or Pay Big Border Tax. Well, guess what? A short time ago, he aimed the same kind of tweet at Toyota, saying Build Plant in US or Pay Big Border Tax. Let's get the business eye view of this as we turn to Detroit News business columnist Daniel Howes. Daniel, that tweet at GM, now Toyota, pay big border tax. Is that giving folks a message they've been wanting to hear someone say for years, since maybe like NAFTA?
Since like forever?
Yeah.
The short answer is probably yes, at least some people, certainly in this neck of the woods, where I think a lot of people have equated NAFTA and trade deals with a one-way ticket to no jobs, and all they get is a lousy car or a tie with Trump embroidered on it. So yes, I think that is something they want to hear, but the reality of the industry today is far more complicated.
Yes, as your column today spells out, what happens when the Trump Build America push smacks up against the reality of today's global marketplace?
Well, I mean, you look at General Motors, for example, builds its Envision midsize sport utility, Buick Envision midsize utility in China. Fiat Chrysler's Jeep Renegade, a compact SUV, comes out of Italy. At the Los Angeles Auto Show, I think all but one model that was debuted by the Detroit automakers was built outside the United States. And that includes, for example, the Chrysler Pacifica minivan, which comes from, admittedly, it's Windsor, but nevertheless, it comes from outside the United States.
Mm-hmm.
There are many examples of this. And on top of that, you have foreign automakers that are building a lot, investing a lot in Mexico, that are importing those vehicles into the United States. Audi, Volkswagen, Mercedes, and Infiniti are in the process of doing a joint venture to build luxury vehicles and import them into the United States, among other places. So this is happening across the industry.
So Americans who just want to pick the car they want to pick could be in for some ruffled feathers if the president-elect becomes president and gets his way and slaps on that, quote, big border tax.
Well, right. Who's going to pay it? Do you think that the automakers are going to absorb that tariff and it's not going to affect the pricing of the vehicles?
Yeah.
Number one. And number two, would an incoming president slap that kind of tariff on, say, an American company based in Detroit, but not a German company based in Munich or in Stuttgart, or a French-Japanese company with headquarters in Paris and Tokyo? I mean, I think the question answers itself.
Mm-hmm. And if Mr. Trump would possibly get his way with this big border tax, we're going to see some head-spinning things happening with the supply base. They're down there in Mexico, for instance, making a lot of parts and sending them back here to the U.S. And I don't think anyone wouldn't imagine Mexico won't retaliate with its own tariffs.
Well, I think that's right. But I mean, let's before we even get to that, Cynthia, let's talk about the political ramifications. I mean, you've got members of Congress that represent states all over the United States, but particularly in areas that supported Trump and gave him a surprising electoral win. Start with the industrial Midwest and look at the American South. In those two parts of the country is where automotive production is most concentrated. And every one of those members of Congress that has one of those plants in their districts, whether it's a Detroit 3 plant or it's a so-called transplant plant, that's their company. Those are their companies. And if their companies are getting whacked by something that they're normally philosophically opposed to, you think they're just going to sit down and take it? I mean, the reality is that international trade and tariffs and everything, that's not just a presidential prerogative. Congress does have a say in that, and I can guarantee you that they would exercise that prerogative.
So once Mr. Trump becomes our president 2 weeks from tomorrow, what might he do besides threaten on Twitter that would help bring jobs and production back to the U.S. in a way that realizes the realities of the global marketplace?
Well, one, I think, and you heard it from Ford CEO Mark Fields this week, one is to follow through on corporate tax reform and regulatory reform. I think if these auto companies would tell you, and they have been saying publicly, that they are favorably predisposed to some of the things that the Trump administration or incoming administration has been saying on those fronts. That's point one. I think point two would be, can you open or reopen NAFTA and start to look at some of the provisions in it and essentially not repeal it, to use that phrase that's very popular today, repeal and not repeal and replace, but revise? look at some of the details. Are there some things that some agreements that they can come to that might make things a little bit more advantageous to the United States? I think American manufacturers, and frankly, foreign manufacturers, know that it is politically advantageous to them to build where they sell. The reality, though, in the industry is that they don't always build where they sell. And when trade agreements and the cost of doing business exceed the political benefit of building where you sell, guess what? They don't build where they sell. You know, every subcompact that is sold in the United States, I believe, comes from markets outside the United States, with one exception, and that's General Motors Chevrolet Sonic that comes from its Orion Township Assembly right here in Southeast Michigan.
Some interesting things as we approach Inauguration Day and beyond. Detroit News business columnist Daniel Howes with us via Skype. As always, Daniel, thanks so much.
Thank you.